Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
53. Welcome to House Plans. Glad you could be with us today. It's been a long couple of weeks of vacation, so we finally got everybody in the house at the same time again.
Yeah, we glad to be here.
Yep, dog days of summer, right?
Yes.
Yes.
For certain, got overcast and cloudy out there today.
That means the temperature won't be 98,
really?
Which is good.
Well, it might be.
It just well, yeah, it's true.
98.
It's true.
Exactly right.
Let's check that weather today and see what it's going to be like today.
We're going to resort
to the
weather.
You got baseball today? You dressed
for it? We have baseball every day. The question is, when do you get a day off?
Yeah, when are your days off?
We get a day off tomorrow.
Okay. Rest on Sunday.
Yeah.
Then early church.
Yeah. They got, no, guys, it's going to be nice today.
Is it?
Okay. It's a high of, I don't have my readers on, 83.
Here, J.D., hand it to me. I'll hold it for you.
Yeah, 40% chance, 40% chance of rain. So
they got to figure out how to make those screens.
Thunderstorms.
Absolutely. Well, we do have the numbers, guys. We got the numbers in from June, and so we're going to talk about that a little bit. And, of course, we're always here to answer your questions, calls, and comments, 866-442-7553. Or you can hit us up on the text line 71307. That's 71307. We'll have a quick test. What did y'all talk about last week?
What did we talk about? We had a good show, and I can't remember.
No idea.
We had the text question about the house over in, or we might have called in.
Yeah, the rental information,
yeah.
and renovation information. We talked a little bit about return on investment. That gentleman we talked about, we kind of mapped out his renovation, kind of keeping it contractor grade, not over improving the property.
That was a good
conversation. I don't know if we did a interest rates retreated a little bit, huh? Right,
a little bit,
Pause.
Well, you know,
that was to get excited about, but I mean, yeah,
yeah. Well, that's big in the news. You know, the inflation numbers came out this week, and of course, they were tweaked a little bit higher than expected. And so, you know, it looks like the Fed may raise rates even more often than what we thought, just simply because the inflation is heating up a little bit. It's been a long time since we've had inflation as high as it is now. And granted, it's just slightly over 2. It's not like crazy. But it will cause the Fed to be cautious, and they may decide that they're going to increase rates a little more often than what we expected. So,
and in speaking of inflation, historically, inflation has been good for real estate owners, right?
Yes.
So typically you do very well in an inflationary period. And we've talked about that. We talked about it a little bit before the show. The pricing continues to go up and up. Really hard to wrap your arms around if you're out in the marketplace looking. I saw Mary was telling me about a friend of hers got wind of a new listing, and it was in the 270 range. And of course, mm-hmm. Mary was very proud of herself. She said that they were describing the real estate to her, and she's heard me talk about it, and it had been updated, and the color palette was correct. And she said, "You better go pull the trigger."
Yeah, that's right.
And sure enough, there were multiple offers. They ended up with a full price offer. They made a full price offer, secured the contract. They were first in. Sometimes if you're first, you'll have a little bit of advantage.
Sure.
If you're full price. If you go low, being first can hurt you.
Yeah. They say those people aren't serious. And, of course, one of the articles I read this week was refinances at an 18-year low.
I believe that.
The lowest number since 2000.
Since 2000,
and
wow.
Does it seem like that to you guys?
Yeah, I think so. It's you know, there's still, I would say that 80% of the people that are refinancing are doing cash out, for a myriad of different reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, a bunch of different reasons. So,
You know, motivation may not be rate. It may be personal finances versus rate.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, there's I can think of a thousand different reasons that we're doing them. Not as many rate and terms just because, you know, most people already have
a good rate and term. Keith, it does not matter how much they love JD. They will not take their 3.5 and turn it into a 4.5.
Yeah.
They just won't do it. Love him or not, they just won't go there.
And I think people have a hard time pulling the trigger right now. It's a little harder to pull the trigger on 4.75, as you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, that kind of thing.
Because we haven't seen that.
And some people are buying PMI too. That's a popular one.
I had a call.
Yeah, you know, I saw an article about that this week too. That the new head of the FHA was like, "We're not ready to get rid of that permanent PMI quite yet. We know what he said was, we know we need to do something. We're not sure what we're going to do, but we're not going to do it
anything
right now."
Right now, that's right.
He gave to Keith Clark, "We're going to hold tight. We got permanent PMI. We're going to keep it on there."
I don't like that. This doesn't seem right to me.
What, Keith? Permanent PMI. You got 20% LTV and you still have to pay PMI? You don't like that?
No.
Yeah, that's why you got to say bye-bye to the PMI.
What if you have 50%?
It don't matter.
Well, it kind of falls off in 11 years on that. So, we're going to talk about it when we come back from the break right after this. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. JD and Chris from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark. With a buyer's broker, we are taking your texts and phone calls today. If you want to get in on the show, just give us a ring at 866-442-7553. That's 866-442-7553. And the text line is open as well at 71307. If you prefer to just shoot us a text with your question or comment about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, hit us up on the text line. That's 71307. Popular addition to the show. We have a lot of people text in questions and comments. Helped a few people this week with some of their questions. It was a good week for questions and comments on the text line.
Yeah, well, we were talking off the air about what's going on in the real estate market, and it is very interesting that, you know, that push on rates. We've seen that push on, price because of short inventory. And then, you got the push on rates. And, you know, we've asked this question for probably the last 6 to 9 months, is where does the pressure become so much that it starts to impact the market and turn it the other way? And JD and I were talking about an example of, you know, let's say you do have that FHA loan right now that has permanent mortgage insurance on it. And you're thinking about getting rid of it. And let's say you got a rate in the high threes on that loan. Well, today you can get a rate in the fours and you can get rid of that private mortgage insurance, replacing it with a conventional loan. And then, you know, you're in good shape because that MI is so high that your payment will most likely go down. You know, it's going to go down even though your rate goes up.
Yep.
And so, you know, when you're in the situation, when you get a 1-point spread like we have right now, it works. When you have a 1.5 or a 2-point spread, so let's say you decide to wait, it won't work. You know, the payment will remain the same or the payment will go up, which means you wouldn't want to even consider it. So if you are thinking about getting rid of that mortgage insurance, and I saw 2 or 3 examples of people working on that this week, now is definitely the time to do it, because we do expect rates, even on the long end of the curve, to continue in that 30-year fix, to continue to go up over the next couple of years unless something dramatic happens.
And the other piece is real estate values, as we have talked about, have gone up. So, you know, when you do refinance, instead of being maybe at that 96.5% loan to value that you were at when you purchased a home on an FHA loan, you may be at 90, 85, or
you
maybe
may be
even
at 80.
Yeah.
In 2.5 years, extrapolate the numbers.
Brandon did Huddle yesterday. We get together, you know, every week as a group for everybody up in the Greenville area as the bank. And we, you know, each week somebody presents. And Brandon was presenting yesterday. And he said he had a guy that expected his house to come back in at 250. That's what... You know, that was his estimate of value, and it came in almost at 280.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was shocked. And so obviously that had a big impact on the loan to value. It lowered the loan to value.
Well, there are lots of locations where you could easily say 3.7s or 21% improvement in price,
sure,
in value over the last 3 years.
Absolutely.
Many neighborhoods and locations in the city. Some might be 14%, others might be 21%. We've got pockets where you could, over the last 3 years, gosh, it could be 25%.
Yeah, you're right.
It could
be.
Well, listen, if you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, Chris and JD from County Bank Mortgage here to answer your question, or Keith Clark from the Buyer's Broker. You can reach us at 866-442-7553. That's a toll-free call. Or, of course, you can hit us up on the text line, 71307. That's 71307. Love to hear from you this morning. But it is very true, Keith, that we also have the other side. The other side is crazy pricing on sellers, buy sellers. I had one this week where the average, and it was average, price per square foot, which is not the only number but is a good number, in the neighborhood was $128 a square foot, and they listed the property at $158 a square foot, which obviously creates quite a bit of a challenge for the appraisal. And when you went back into the mix to say, okay, show me comp, show me this, show me this. Now, I will say this. They had done very similar things to what you had done when you sold your house.
Right.
They had put the house in primo condition. I mean, model shape, new everything, ready to roll. But the thought process that they went through was somewhat different from yours because they didn't have the experience in the market. They were like, no, we put $1,000 worth of new gas logs.
Right.
So where's that $1,000?
Yeah.
We replaced the air conditioner unit. And of course, their appraiser came back and said, well, it sounds like the old one didn't work.
Yeah.
I mean, and so, you know, you have to think about those types of things.
And what we're really talking about is return on investment when you improve the property.
Absolutely.
Right? And so, Chris was referring to my personal experience. And when I renovated my home to prepare it for sale, I knew that I might only get 40% of the return on investment. But days on the market was important to me.
It had a
because I owned two homes at the time, and I sold it first day, first person.
Yes.
Now, I didn't get all that money back, right? But if you calculate days on the market, percentage of asking price to sales price,
sure,
opportunity cost in some cases for if you're looking for another home, then it may be more important to you. So you really have to decide what your goals and objectives are, right? So if you're looking for return on investment, you certainly don't want to put a level 4 granite in the house, right?
Right.
It might be more suitable to do a level 1 granite. Now, all these things affect days on the market when you're marketing your house. And the longer your home is on the market, the more likely the purchaser is going to have an advantage.
A discount, right?
Right. And typically, the first reduction in price, depending on what price point you are, mine would have been, my first price reduction would have been $10,000. You know,
right.
if you're at the six
but
or seven,
at what point, Keith? How long?
Usually 30 days.
30 days.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't think there's you know, the pricing strategy differs from agent to agent. I priced mine fairly. I was, you know, it was hard for me to bite my tongue and and keep it because I wanted that money back too. I spent about $40,000.
Yeah,
updating my house. And I wanted all that money back, but I knew I couldn't get it.
Yeah. What would you estimate of that 40 that you got back?
Probably maybe a little less. But again,
then property taxes that you're not having to pay.
That's
insurance
right.
You're
that's
not
right.
Having to pay.
Mortgage, I would have had
mortgage.
That. Yeah. And I paid cash for the other one, but I would have had a mortgage. I would have had to move
to
money
juggle,
around to have two houses.
Sure.
So absolutely.
You just have to think about what we're really talking about, even if you go back to before return on investment, we're talking about your goals and objectives in the process, what you're trying to accomplish in the selling and buying of your new home.
Absolutely.
Right?
Listen, if you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with the real estate, here to answer your questions, calls, comments, 866-442-7553. Love to hear from you. Or, of course, you can text us at 71307. That's 71307. I tell you, one of the things we need to talk about is part of that process, Keith, when you got two, is you need to make sure that JD is involved so that he can plan for either
absolutely. Yep.
Outcome.
Right. Yeah, that's
I know it's some math.
It is.
Some planning. And most importantly, comfort level.
It is. You know, most of the time when people, you know, you may have a mortgage or not have a mortgage on your own old home, you're trying to figure out, am I going to move prior to selling? Are we going to try to, you know, is it going to have to be a double move where, you know, we sell our current home, move into an apartment, maybe we're doing a construction, whatever it is. You know, there's always a lot of conversation in regards to trying
moving,
to figure out.
Moving twice is versus moving once.
Sure.
That's a big issue.
Yeah, it is. Well, and not only that, it's
cost.
Money.
Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly
pain
right.
Pain and so, suffering and cost.
Yeah, you really have to think about that when you are planning and doing the move and that kind of thing. So anyway, well, listen, we'll come back to that. We've got a caller on the line. I believe we've got Richard on the phone. Hey, Richard, how are you?
I'm fine this morning. How are you?
Fantastic. What can we do for you?
I'm not that good, by the way.
Well, we purchased some, we live in North Carolina. We purchased some land in Campobello, about 35 acres. It was in timber. It had been clear cut about 3 years ago. We just now cleaned it all up. In this September, we're going to plant about 15 acres in pasture grass. And my question is on the property taxes, will I be eligible for the agricultural exemption?
That's a great question.
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. And Keith, I think you probably have the most experience with that. And we've talked about, you know, it's the use of the land as well as the size of the land that matters to the county.
Well, I was supposed to do some research on this because somebody else asked us the same question. My understanding of it was that you have to yield a certain amount of income off the property every so many years, 2 or 3 years, and that you have to justify to the county that is indeed agricultural. And what most people do, I think, is cut the house out of the... So if you own 35 acres and you're going to build a house on it, most people cut that house out and you'll get taxed as your principal residence and then comply with the county's rules related to the agricultural status to get the reduced tax rate on the what we would say is excess land. And I think the criteria involves a yield of income, certain amount of income. You can go on the county's website, and I promise that I will research that this week, and next week we'll have a definitive answer on how the county classifies that land as agricultural.
Yeah.
What you have to do
right.
in order to receive that designation, because
right. well,
it is such a substantial difference. It's literally very, very little taxes on agricultural land.
Well, we won't be able to harvest the grass, the pasture grass,
right?
For 2 to 3 years because it takes that much time for it to be established.
Well, I think that's why it's over a 2 or 3 year period.
Yeah, I just did a quick Google and found an article that from 2013, and it's talking about if you're going to grow, and this is specific about timber, it's just saying to get that agricultural classification, you know, if you're going to use it for timber, it says it has to be 5 acres or more, and then it goes on to talk about some other requirements. But we can do some research on that and, you know, kind of look and see what it would take for you to be able to get that type of classification. But you know, Keith is right, it absolutely is a huge
dramatic
difference.
In the county, I must tell you that my interaction with the county at Real Property Services has always been very positive. It's amazing how helpful they are. So if you call them, just go to the Greenville County website, call them and ask for go to Real Property Services,
yeah.
Or the same way in Spartanburg County. Now, I don't know how nice they'll be at Spartanburg County. Okay.
And then, of course, what you do also have to do is you have to apply for that discount. Just like if it was your primary residence,
yep.
you would have to make application to get that reduced tax.
And they want verification, not just filling out a piece of paper these days, because so many people do try to take advantage of the tax circumstances. You know, they don't always...
Wait a minute. People are trying to reduce their tax liability?
Now, there's nothing wrong. We all want to reduce our tax liability, but we want to do it honestly, right? We want to trust but verify.
Oh, yeah. Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Richard. We appreciate it. We do need to do a little research on that. That came up a couple of weeks ago. And really make sure that we know exactly. And, of course, Keith, it may be different county by county. So, you know, we could do some research in Greenville and see what it is. But, obviously, if you have agriculture use of the land, you want to take advantage of that because it's going to save you some money long term.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And then, of course, Keith, I know another way that comes back is if a developer comes in and buys that land and then converts it to lots, you have this thing called rollback taxes,
yes,
which go back and will recoup some of that taxes for the county when the property's converted to. So sometimes that would be an expense for the developer and or the builder.
It is, yeah. And on the contract, it just asks who's going to pay those rollback taxes.
Yeah, and
I think it's 3 years of the current status. You have to go back and pay what the new status is going to be.
Yeah, but it's not something that you'd want to be stuck with.
It's a big number, by the way.
It can be, yeah, that's right. Well, listen, we're going to head into our bottom of the hour break. If you've got a question or comment, give us a ring at 866-442-7553. Text line will remain open, too, at 71307.
Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. Chris and JD from County Bank Mortgage in the house. Keith Clark from The Buyer's Broker here to take your calls, questions, and comments about buying, selling, anything to do with the real estate, 866-442-7553. And then, of course, we have the text line open, 71307. Text been quiet today, but you can hit us up on the text line, 71307. We do have Pat from Union on the phone, and she's our next caller. Good morning, Pat.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, thanks for listening.
We bought some property up the road, a half an acre, because they were using it for a dump.
Yep.
And it made the rest of the place look bad. So we bought it for $500, an acre.
Yes.
It had a 1,000-gallon septic tank in it. It's got city water, and it has electricity. So we figured the $500 was a good buy.
Sounds like it.
It took us over a month. Every week hauling a truckload of garbage off that property.
Okay.
And the problem is some people thought it was still for dumping.
Right.
And they were still putting stuff on there. We had to call the police. We put a cabin on there now, a 12-by-40 cabin, and we're working on it. We've had it up for sale before we put the cabin on it. The guy found out we only paid $500. He didn't consider the cost us almost $2,000.
Right.
And all that. He only wanted to pay us the $500 for it.
Right.
And I said, oh, no.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
What else? Now we put the cabin on it to make it look more presentable.
Right.
What should we do now?
Well, tell me a little bit about the cabin. This is a site-built cabin, or this was something that you purchased and then rolled on there?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so it was not... Is the cabin like bedrooms and baths, or is it like storage?
That's what we're working on.
Okay, so you're in the process of renovating. Well, the first thing I would say is that the price that you paid for it has absolutely nothing to do with what you can sell it for, because oftentimes when you go back and look at deed records, it's not uncommon to see that a property transferred for $5 love and affection, or $10 love and affection, or, you know, for $500, and that has absolutely nothing to do with the value of the property. But what I would say is that if you purchased a pre-made cabin, and then rolled it onto the property, that you're now converting it into bedrooms and bathrooms and things like that, that is going to have a huge impact on the value of the property. And then, of course, the question will be what comparables are out there when the appraisal's done to compare it. And the other thing I think about is the quality of the workmanship, right, Keith?
Yeah, I think, Pat, there are a couple of things I would say. We always talk about, in fact, we talked about it on this show. I would really start with what am I trying to accomplish? What are my goals and objectives in the beginning? So you want to map out a strategy of what you want at the end of this. Do you want a good neighbor? Do you want a rental property? Do you want what are you trying to accomplish with the cabin? And or, you know, my first thought was it would be great for a mobile home rental, right? A half acre. But that would be if your long-term goal was an income strategy. If you're trying to create a improve your neighborhood by taking this lot, putting a small home on it, and making your home either more valuable or at least your quality of life better, then that's a different strategy. And you really should start that at the beginning, not in the middle or the end. Does that make sense? So what are you trying to accomplish? Do you just want to flip it and make a little money? Do you want to improve the neighborhood? Do you want a income producing property? What are you trying to accomplish with the project?
Well, what we were going to do when we bought it was make a garden out of it, but that doesn't work so good when it isn't right under your nose, because even our garden here, we were gone for 1 week and come back and somebody would come in and take it.
Somebody harvested it.
Yeah, and so now that you've changed strategies, what's the new strategy?
We wanted to sell it. We're going to flip it and get rid of it. Somebody else have it.
Yeah, and so you want to convert it from a lot that people were using to dump on into a place somebody could use as a primary residence or maybe as a cabin in the woods to get away from things?
Yes, whatever they want to do with it.
That's The first thing, if you're in the process of trying to improve the property right now, my experience has been that you need to complete that process and get that work done before you try to sell it, because in the middle is the wrong place to be. Either leave it as is and don't do any work and try to sell it as is, you know, before you started to convert it, or if you've started to convert it to bedrooms and baths, finish it. Because a lot of times people or buyers particularly have a hard time seeing the vision until the vision's complete. And Keith, I know you talk about that a lot. Walking into a house and being able to envision living there is something that a buyer needs to have to really make them feel comfortable about buying the property.
Yeah, and I would talk to a professional, Pat, because here's what comes to my mind as you're talking about it. What is the market going to want from you? So you have, oftentimes we talk about sellers have to meet the market where it is, right? So if the market is a 5,000 square foot house, then you need to be looking at 5,000. If the market is 250 square feet, then you need to go to the market. What will the market absorb?
And the same thing about bedrooms and baths.
Yes, exactly.
If the market is used to three bedroom, two bath, you can't build a two bedroom, one bath or a six bedroom, six bath.
Well, you can, but you won't, may not be successful outcome.
Absolutely. And then, of course, Pat, if somebody's going to get a loan on it, then they're going to have to deal with JD and the appraiser. And that's when the
very
house
important.
Fitting the market will be the most important, right, JD?
Yeah, that's right. Because you're going to have comparables.
And I'll give you an example. We had one the other day. I looked at it. Well, actually, I looked at it yesterday. And what it was a 2,400-square-foot building. Looked like a barn, but very nice. The bottom floor was all open workspace. Upstairs was two bedrooms and one bath. And it was on about 25 acres. And I had one of the loan officers email it to me and said, do you think this will go into the secondary market? My answer was no, because you're not going to be able to find any comparables that have a kitchen upstairs, that have the bedrooms upstairs with a workshop underneath. And I said, now, it doesn't mean you can't buy this as a lot and then build on it. That will work. But you're not going to be able to buy this property and get 30-year financing on it because you're not going to be able to find comparables. And I've had that same example come up, I bet you, five or six times in the last year where you have a new building with open workshop space on the bottom and a place to live above it, and it just won't work. So that's kind of
Keith's
point.
In your case, you need to make sure that as you improve the property, that the purchaser's going to be able to get financing on the property, right? Because at the beginning, it was a $500 piece of property. You could flip for $1,000, walk away with $500. Hopefully, somebody else will do what you're doing.
And now you're making a substantial investment.
Now you're going to make the investment. So the purchaser of that property is going to need X number of dollars. $20,000, $50,000, $100,000, whatever your investment. And there needs to be access to financing. Otherwise, what? They have to pay cash for it. And how many people at that price point are paying cash? So those are, I go back to the point where I said you really need to sit down with a professional who can map all that out for you and give tell you what your risks are as you go down this road of investing. Sure. And what the likelihood or probability of you being able to recoup your total investment.
Yeah, and we'd be happy to do that with you. All you got to do is shoot an email to askjd@countybankmortgage.com, and JD can give you some information about how it could be financed. And then, of course, he could hook you up with Keith, and Keith could help you figure out how you're going to go about selling it.
Well, I did go to a real estater, but she didn't do any of what you just said.
Well, shoot us an email or give us a call at 331-HOME. That's 331-4663, and we'll be happy to help you out. Thanks for the call, Pat.
Okay.
All right, we're going to head into our last break of the day. You're listening to House Plans. Chris and JD from County Bank Mortgage in the house. Keith Clark from the Buyer's Broker. If you've got a question or call or comment, give us a ring, 866-442-7553. And, of course, the text line is open at 71307. We'll be right back after this.
Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. JD and Chris from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We are taking your texts and phone calls. 866-442-7553 is the phone number, and 71307 is the text line. Appreciate all of our texters, phone calls, and listeners today. Had some good questions. So I've got another call here. We got Bill in Simpsonville. Hey, Bill, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for taking my call. For me, it's a sad day. I was working with Kim, and I'm not quite sure where to go from here relative to a new mortgage I was working on with him.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Bill. Yeah, we thank you for calling in. We were actually going to talk a little bit about Kim towards the end of the show. It is a sad day at County Bank Mortgage.
Yeah, yesterday was rough.
It was. We lost one of our loan officers. Suddenly he had a heart issue and passed away yesterday.
Very unexpected. Might have been late Thursday. And we're talking about Kim Kendrick, and we were planning on taking the last part of this show to really talk about Kim and his, you know, his life with us. I mean, he was part of the County Bank family. You know, I started doing the math yesterday and thinking about it, and you know, Kim's helped over 1,000 people buy or refi in the Greenville market since he was part of the First Palmetto family to begin with, and then the County Bank Mortgage family after that. And we worked with Kim for 17 years.
Yeah, long time.
And so, first of all, we'd like to say for our listeners and everybody, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family, and we would appreciate it if you would do the same. And, you know, it was a shock to us yesterday that he moved on. And I'll tell you, Kim was by far the hardest working man in the mortgage business I ever met.
Yes, he was. That was one thing I can say about Kim is he was a hard worker for sure.
And so to answer your question, Bill, what we're doing right now is we're going through the folks that, you know, we're in process with him, and we're letting his customers and his agents know what happened. Many of them obviously already know, but if you'll shoot JD an email at askjd@countybankmortgage.com, or if you'll just call JD Monday at 331-HOME-4663, we'll be happy to you know, get in the middle of what's going on and make sure that you get taken care of. But we certainly appreciate you calling.
Yeah, okay, I'll do that. And I just wanted to say Kim was a great guy. I'd only known him for about 6 months.
Right.
But from what I knew of him, he was just an awesome person and always willing to help you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Bill. I appreciate that. Thank you for your call.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, JD and I were saving this for the last segment because I told everybody if we talked about it first, I might get emotional. But I'm trying to keep a light heart about it. But, you know, Kim put a sign in his office probably about 6 months ago that says, if I'm not here, I'm at the beach. And so now he's at the big beach in the sky. And, you know, we just pray for his family and his children. And, you know, I talked to Susan yesterday, and they know how much we appreciated Kim and how much we support them and what's going on. And it was very, very sudden. And, of course, JD, I think he played golf about a week ago.
He shot his all-time best score a couple of weeks ago on the golf course. Yeah, he was proud of that. You know, Kim is a guy who Chris is exactly right. You know, when I think of Kim Kendrick, you know, I think a hard worker. Yep. I mean, he would, you know, he would work hard when easy work would be better. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And but yeah. Kim is a you know, when you work with somebody for 17 years, you know, in County Bank Mortgage, we are kind of like a family. You know, it might be a dysfunctional family sometimes,
but,
you know,
that's
it's
right.
It's a, you know, all families are like that. but we had a lot of fun with Kim and you know, here's a guy who, you know, beat cancer 2 or 3 years ago.
Yep.
And, you know, really was, you know, changing his lifestyle a lot. And I mean, he was working out and all, but he was also kind of enjoying the fruits of his labor as well. He would go to the beach a lot and he's playing golf and doing a lot of those things. And he will be sorely missed for sure. Sure, it was, you know, just like all the guys at County Bank, you know, you get to know people well, you get to know their family and you know, he's just I was actually talking to one of my other baseball coaches, you know, yesterday at practice last night. And I said, man, we lost, you know, a guy to our office today. And he knew Kim from baseball, you know, Curtis played baseball coming along.
And took him to the hospital. The nurse said, I'll take care of him. I know
this is one of my guys.
Did my loan.
Yeah.
He did such a great job and worked so hard for his customers. And I tell you, you know, one of the things, the best credit guy I ever met in my life from the standpoint of understanding how credit worked, what made it tick, what could move the dial. And he was actually our leader in that area in the branch and would actually teach JD and the other LOs, oh, no,
you
don't want to do that. You want to do this. But he operated on that first in, last out. He was always the last man there working, and he worked very, very hard for us and for his family. And, you know, everybody that you talked to that worked with him could certainly appreciate the amount of effort he put into their personal deal. And he treated everybody that way. He, you know, he saw it as a Rubik's Cube. He worked hard to solve the Rubik's Cube. And to JD's point, he will be sorely missed.
Well, I'll say this too. You know, he's a guy, a lot of people don't know this story. Me and Chris, when we started First Palmetto Mortgage back in 2000.
January 2001.
Yeah, we were getting everything together. There was actually a third partner who was going to come with us, and he opted to stay at the Wells Fargo when we were there. And Kim came in, I guess it was probably, we had been over about 3 or 4 months. He had actually interviewed with Wells Fargo for a position with them. A guy named Bill Allen, who referred him, Kim, to us and said,
so you might want to do this instead.
Yeah, you might want to go talk to these guys. Kim came in, and he was like the spitting image of our third partner. I mean, he looked like him, he talked like him, he acted like him. You know, and me and Chris both kind of looked at each other like, you know, and we called a couple of his references just to, you know, check him out.
Had a very similar background. Ours had been in consumer finance.
Yeah.
So he kind of talked the same talk, had that same vocabulary that we had the same experience.
Yeah.
Except he had been on the dark side. He had been on audit.
Audit, yeah. He was an auditor. Yeah. So, but it was very interesting to, you know, to call his references and everybody described him the exact same way. And I will say this, there are a lot of references that you'll call on, you know, for, you know, prospective employee. Yeah. And you'll get, you know, you'll get half the truth and half not the truth and all that.
Right.
The people that described him to a T, exactly who he was and what he was.
Yeah, and they said the same thing we just said, the hardest working man you'll ever meet. He's going to work hard for you.
Yeah.
He's going to work hard for the customer. He's going to work hard for the company. And he's going to give it 100%. And, you know, to JD's point, Kim will be sorely missed. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about Kim Kendrick that we lost this week. Unexpectedly and very, very sad time over at County Bank Mortgage. And, you know, certainly we would ask our listeners, his customers, and the entire County Bank family for their thoughts and prayers as it relates to Kim and his family as they go through this really, really tough time because it was so unexpected.
Well, and I expect, you know, there's a lot of people at the beach it'll be missed as well.
That's right.
Know,
he mean, loved going to the beach.
He loved going to the beach, loved going down there. And I'll never forget, you know, Bob in our office, we were talking about golf. You know, I mean, that's all Bob talks about anyway. But Kim came in and was talking to him about golf. And Kim said, yeah, I'm going to the beach. I'm going to play at, you know, 11 o'clock in the morning at such and such a course or whatever. And Bob would say, well, who are you going to play with? You know. And Kim goes, oh, I don't know. They'll just pair me up with somebody. You know, and Bob, that's just foreign to him, you know, or whatever. But well, Kim was just that kind of guy.
You got to have it mapped out.
When Bill called in yes. A few minutes ago. I was sitting here thinking about Kim.
Yep.
Just thinking about, to me, the things that stand out were that, I'll tell you something, I never heard him complain or whine.
No, never.
So, you know, all of us have tough customers,
sure.
Right? I mean, there are people, a wide range of people that we work with. Some of them easier to work with than others. But he worked hard on every single deal.
Well, I think you recently did a transaction.
I
did. Were on the sell side. He was on the buy side.
Yep.
And it wasn't an easy deal, but he was in there grinding away, making it work.
And one of the things that particularly, and really you guys as well, is when County Bank is involved, I don't really worry about it. Okay?
Right.
You know,
right.
Financing is such a critical part of every real estate transaction, but when it's in the building at County Bank, I just don't worry about it. I know the whole team.
Yep.
All of them are working hard to get it done, and Kim worked harder than anybody there.
That's right.
On every single transaction. And again, the thing that impressed me most, I just didn't hear him whine.
No, never
whining.
Never did. No.
Well, I'll tell you about that. You know, when he had the cancer, I went in and I was talking to him about it, and he said, "Let me just explain it to you." He said, "Life deals you cards, and you only got one choice. You play the cards you're dealt."
Yeah.
And so I think when you look at the attitude that he had about those kind of things, he had the right attitude, a positive attitude, and he took that same positive attitude when he was working with a client. It didn't. Kim was kind of the epitome of not a matter of if, but a matter of when.
Yep.
And he would. It would be nothing for me to be talking to him about a deal that was somewhat challenging, and you know, us going over the hurdles. And he said, "Look, I've been working with this person for a year. I've been working with this person for 9 months.
Yeah.
I've been working with this person for 6 months, or I've been working with this person for 2 years." He was always committed to that focus of not a matter of if, but a matter of when. What do we need to do? What does the client need to do to get to the finish line? And I can tell you that when I go back and look, and I did this a little bit yesterday at some of the survey responses that he got, it always went back to that hard work and the fact that he cared about making it happen, that he took a personal investment in getting the thing to close.
Yeah. And ultimately what we're doing, even though obviously it's our job in many ways, people in the real estate industry are helping improve the lives of their customers.
Absolutely.
Okay, so whether you're getting a loan or you're buying a house, whatever it is.
That's right.
Ultimately, you're improving that person's quality of life.
Exactly.
And sometimes it can be challenging. Sometimes it's not so challenging.
Right.
But he did a great job, and his office was right next to mine, so I'll miss him.
Yeah, we will all miss him greatly. Please put his family and friends and clients in your prayers. We will miss him greatly. Y'all have a great week, and thank you for listening to House Plans. We'll be back next week to talk a little real estate. We do have some numbers. If you need to get in touch with us during the week, you can reach us at askjd@countybankmortgage.com, or you can always hit us up on the phone at 331-HOME. That's 331-4663. Y'all have a great weekend.
Have a great week. We'll be back next week here on House Plans.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.